Right, would you turn with me to the middle of the Bible in the book of Psalms, chapter 66. I was contemplating this chapter. I love it. How many times have you heard me say I love Psalms? And this past Monday when we were at praise practice, you know, the ones that come to praise practice, they devote an evening to try to lead you in worship and that God might get all the glory and praise. Where I used to come from in my past life, we used to call it open letter style. You just go there, open her up, and let her fly. Well, that doesn't really work the best. So we do practice. But after practice Monday night, Marcia, Jean, and I were talking about spiritual things and the Word of God. And, you know, they didn't know it. But I felt like, oh my goodness, that felt like a confirmation. Just the way what we were talking about seemed to come out, and they had no idea. My mind and my heart was just been settling for two or three weeks into this book of Psalm 66. So I feel like this is just something that God has for us this morning. So I don't normally pray before I speak, but let's do that this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. And God, I just thank you for your wonderful spirit and thank you for the anointing. Lord, the anointing of God breaks every yoke. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, as we speak and as we listen, God, that you open our inner ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to us, that we might just grow. Lord, we don't want any benefit for ourselves other than to see our soul and our spirit just become fat and flourishing like Malachi talked about, that we might just somehow abound in you and just grow, Lord, and just be stronger today than we were yesterday and be stronger tomorrow than we are today and be stronger. Just strengthen us, Lord, and we just praise you in that wonderful and matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 66, verse 1 says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. You know, this is a new King James Version, but I have a feeling that your Bible says something very similar to mine. Make a joyful shout to God, make, you know, and as I look at this, sometimes I think we read so fast. We want to be able to say, I read two chapters in the Bible today. We read so fast, we kind of miss some of the meaning because we're moving along so fast because we're Americans. We're fast paced, we go. But you know, when I stop and I pause and I look at this and I look at one word, it just jumps out at me. Make. A joyful shout, make. So making is something you got to do. If you're going to make a cake or bake a cake, you got to do it. You got to make it. If you're going to accomplish things, you've got to make it happen. And God comes to us in through his word, and the psalmist and King David says, make a joyful shout to God. I know that there are churches this morning that would never, ever read this scripture. They would not read the scripture because they don't want to have anything that's different. They don't want to upset the apple cart. They want things to be solemn. We're in a solemn assembly. But psalmist, he come out many times in 100 and 149. He comes out and says, come into his sanctuary with praise and singing and joyfulness. Enter into his courts with praise and make a shout. What kind of a shout? He used an adjective. He said, make a quiet shout. Make a quiet shout. I don't know. Is it just me, or just this is my Bible tell, am I reading it right? I use reading glasses, so maybe kind of a shout. Joyful. Oh my goodness. Wow. Well, that changes things, let me tell you. That changes things, folks. Joyful. Happy. Hallelujah. Make a joyful shout unto God. All the earth. Everybody. Sing out the honor of his praise. Make his praise glorious. How do you do that? You have to put in effort into what you're doing. You have to make it happen. Make it happen. Begin to think, how can I praise God? Because he goes really clear here. It goes really in the, it's clear. Verse 3 says, say to God, how awesome are your works? We don't want praise. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. How awesome is he? He's a God that has eyes that can hear. He has feelings. He has a spirit. So we can't see him. But we believe because we're believers. We believe in the Almighty God because he's awesome. Praise him for his wonderful works. Praise him for his greatness. The scripture says that even the heathen can look out and see the greatness of God, creation. They can see it. And I believe at times they feel it. But he said, say. I think that's what my Bible says. Say. Say. How do we praise the Lord? We can say it. We can shout it. We can praise him because of his great power. And in even his enemies, don't give in to them. If they say you can't praise the Lord, you can praise the Lord. If the enemy says, no, you're having a really bad day, God is not good, even though you feel like it, you say, God is good. So you say what is right. You say faith. You say into the mountain, be thou removed. And Jesus said, it'll be cast away. Say it. Say it. Believe it. Sometimes we have bad days. Sometimes we have bad moments. And I'll sit in our office chair and sometimes I close my eyes, sometimes I don't. I just contemplate. I think, God, what am I going to do? How would you think about this? How would you handle this? Because God handles things different than we do. And that's why if we get into the spirit realm and into the more spirit things, then we can begin to think like him. The scripture says, put on the mind of Christ. How do you put on the mind of Christ? Begin to thinking of the word, thinking of Christ, thinking in your spirit. What is good? What's bad? What is? What's my conscience saying to me? Do you know how to spell conscience? It used to be real hard to me. But then I realized conscience is just C-O-N, and then you just spell science. So, that one didn't cost you anything either. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You know, we don't hear the word Pentecost too much in this church, the word Pentecost, even though it's in the book of Acts. But, you know, I believe I was in the move for a long time, and so, you know, I have some reservations about some things, but I believe that one thing they really get right, I really believe from the bottom of my heart, they get right, and that is praising God, taking a moment and praising the Lord, praising God, hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. It said, say to God. So what am I going to say? You praise the Lord. You come. You exhibit something out of your heart. Praise you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for your testimonies. We thank you what you're doing in our lives. We praise you, Lord, for all that you're doing, all that you're manifesting. And even when we don't see you working, Lord, we know that you're God. You only have, Lord, you said, I am God. I want your worship. God said, he's three in one. But he wants our devotion, wants our praise. And Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We lift up your holy name. That's how you praise the Lord. You use your mouth. You use your voice. You use you lift hands into him and you praise the Lord because he's great, because he deserves it. Even if it is a bad day, God deserves praise because he created us and he gave us another day. I have a brother that's 3 years older than me, and I texted him this past week, and I said, and he lives in Canada, and when he gets 65, he gets his old age pension. I guess he calls it old age. And I said, hey, brother, I said, I'll tell you one thing. I said, even though Canadian, he has a birthday in August. And I said, even though Canada says, by aging standards, you're going to be old at 65. I want to tell you something. It's better to be over the hill than under the hill. As long as we're above ground, we need to praise the Lord. We need to thank Him. We need to glorify Him. And all the earth. And all the earth. I heard this from a preacher this last summer, and he had his reasons for telling me this. But he says, people will forget your Sunday morning sermons. And I've had other people tell me that. Well, oh, wow. You know, if you think about it, it's true. It's so easy to forget. It's so easy to forget. But if, in my mind, if one thing jumps out at you and you can remember it and hang on to it and grow from it, then it's worth it. You don't have to remember everything that's said. I don't remember everything that's said. But you know what? How we grow? A little at a time. The scripture says, precept upon precept, line upon line. So it's moment upon moment, word upon word. I don't have a photographic memory, so I can't remember everything. Dennis can remember a lot more than I can. But we still can grow in our spirits, line upon line. We grow, we grow. But I thought, okay, we're not going to remember everything that's said. We're not going to remember everything that we hear. So let's do something maybe that we can remember. Sometimes if you put an action with something, you remember it. So, you know, as I'm reading here, it says, they shall call on the Lord, they shall sing praises to His name, come and see the works of God, because He's awesome. So with God, He's awesome. He's doing things toward the Son of Man. He does miracles. So in my mind, with God, we're up here. Without Him, we're here. So with God, we're up here. With God, without God, we're down here. So this morning, with God, without God. With God, without God. You'll forget some of the things I say, but with God, without God. Don't forget it. With Him, without Him. With Him, He sets us in high places with Christ Jesus. He brings us up. He said, I will set you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Because with Him, without Him. With Him, without Him. I'll remind you in a minute. All right, let's go back to verse 6. It moves on and it says, He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot, and then they rejoiced in Him. Wow. It's talking about the Red Sea, of course. What a miracle of miracles. When the Israelites were going to the Red Sea, and they couldn't, and the Egyptians were fast after them. And the Egyptians had a powerful army. And back then, they had the best chariots. They had the fanciest of horses. And people were chasing the Israelites, wanted to kill them or bring them back to Egypt. And God just blew His breath. At least that's how I picture it. He blew His breath, and the sea parted, and it, Scripture says He went over on dry land. Why is He talking about that? Why does He bring that into this picture right now? Because He's talking about praising the Lord, shouting to God, lifting up Him. That's why. Because of His marvelous works. Because of what He does, even when we can't see it. He moves in ways even when we can't see it. And sometimes it feels like He doesn't move. But He has His eye on you. He has His eye on you. How can you prove that, Brother Rick? How can you prove it? Well, if you believe the scriptures, look at 7. Verse 7 says, His eyes observe the nations. What makes up nations? People. People do. People. So His eye is on you. His eye is on you. And that's why it says, rejoice in Him. 6 says, rejoice in him because he has his eye on you. Oh, bless the Lord. 8 says, oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless him, you peoples, and make his voice praise to be heard. To be heard. You say, well, you sound like you're a little bit loud. I don't know. It says praise to be heard. Praising the Lord sometimes is heard. Well, I want to praise him like the Lutherans. I want to praise him like the Catholics. I just want to do it in my own quiet way. I have nothing against that, but I can't help but accept those that praise God with their voice. When they say, shout to God, praise him, rejoice, then we have to accept that. We have to believe in that. And sometimes I think we just have to do it. We have to make it happen. Praise God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord for every single person that's here. Praise the Lord, we have the ability to get up this morning and be here in the house of God to praise him. Hallelujah. Praising him. I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. He keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. Now, this is so interesting to me, because in the midst of praise, in the midst of bringing up the great miracle of parting the Red Sea, in the midst of all of this, God brings in something to our hearts, and he declares it right in the middle of this. And it's kind of odd, but there's many reasons that God tries to get the message across to us. He says to us, I'll keep your soul. Your feet will not be moved. Yet, in verse 10, O God, you have tested us. You have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. Wow. What's he trying to say here? He's saying a whole lot. Because he said, sometimes I'm trying you, I'm testing you, I'm refining you as fire. Now, I'm not a scientist, and I don't know a whole lot about refining silver, but I do know this. They take ore, and they take metals, and they take, the things in the ground, and they put it into a place, and they begin to heat it with high intensity, very high extreme temperatures. And when it hits around 1400, 1500 degrees, even metal can melt. And silver, which is a precious, rare metal, can melt. And it can be hot, molten liquid. And sometimes it gets so hot and so molten, you probably could see yourself in it. But it takes intense heat. Why in the world would God bring, why would the psalmist David feel inspired of God to bring out this? Man, we were shouting, we're having a great time. Wow, we're praising the Lord, we're shouting, and then all of a sudden God says, well, you know, oh God, you've tested us. You refined us as fire, as silver in the fire. Wow. Because, as humans, and because of earthlings, and because of being flesh and bone, we go through tough, tough times. And sometimes some people say, God isn't hard on us. But it's the scripture says that he chastises us to bring us into line, to bring us into a greater walk with him. And sometimes it feels hot, it feels heavy, it feels hurtful. But God has the best interest in us. Even when we go through things that are just really tough. On the other side, when we come through it, I believe that we're a little stronger because he's refined us. And sometimes it is hard. I've been through some very, very hard places. But here I am on this Sunday morning in 2017 because God has refined us and brought us through. So he brings us through, he tries us, he tests us. Sometimes we feel like we can't handle anymore. Sometimes it feels like, I know. And I know you've been through it because I've been through it. Every single one of us has been in a spot where God is bringing us to a place, but to where it feels like we're in the fire. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God didn't deliver them out of the fire. He delivered them in the fire. Some doctrines teach he'll deliver you from the fire. I don't teach that. I don't believe that. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were thrown into the fire and God delivered them. And sometimes we go through the valleys and we go through tough, tough times. But let me tell you, here's a great nugget of those scriptures. He brought us into the net. He saved us. He captured us. He rescued us because he brings us into the net. And when you're in the net, you can't get out. He holds us in his right hand, and the scripture says, no man can pluck you out. I'm telling you, Bible this morning, no man. Jesus said, no man can pluck you out. I was with Joe fishing not too long ago, and he had his net, and he caught a fish in his net. You know what? That fish wasn't going anywhere. When that fish is in that net, you're not going anywhere. You're stuck. So you know what? When you're in God, and even though it feels like a hard time, just know that you're in him, and he's got everything under control. At the time, it doesn't feel like it, but he does. Because you're going to, you see, that's why he says in verse 12, we went through the fire. Man, I felt like I was being burned. I felt like that refining silver was just too much for me. But he brought us through, and he brought us out. And he brought us out to rich fulfillment, or he brought us out to wealth, or he brought us out into greater greatness, better than we had before. He brought us out. Remember verse 12. You brought us out, O Lord. Man, it was just felt like I couldn't handle it. Today's my last day. No man putting his hand to the plow looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You just got to keep going forward because with him, without him, with him, without him. He brought us out. He starts out saying, praise God, and I kind of injects saying, man, this is a really rough time. This is a really tough, I don't know what I'm going to do. He catches us in his net. I wish I would have thought to bring that fishing net, because I could have caught Carter or something, put him in the net. you know, he brings us out. So, folks, I want you to be encouraged. Now, when I say give something to God, I'm saying give our hearts to him. But once we do that, and once salvation's in our life, once we've given our soul and our spirit to him, we give a little more. We say, Lord, I'm going to give you my words. I'm going to give you my praise. I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm giving you my body. I'm giving you my mind, soul. Because Jesus said, what is the first commandment? Greater than all these commandments that's behind me. He said, I give you a new commandment. What is that? To love? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love him. Love him. Praise him. Thank God. And you know, sometimes I think we're going to try. We want to. You know, at times, just pause. Even if it's after or before a song. Like I said, I think the Pentecostals have it right. About just taking a moment and reflecting, like taking a moment and saying, Lord, how we love you and how we adore you. The scripture says worship him. So we worship him in speech. We worship him in song. We worship him in spirit. And sometimes we just take a moment and we say, Lord, how I thank you. So I'm closing, but I want us to realize that we can give something to God. Hallelujah. We can give him our praise. We can give him our worship. We can give him our hearts. We can give him everything that we have. Everything we have. Whether you have little, give it to him. Whether you have a lot, give it to him. Whether you have one talent, give it to him. Whether you have a dozen talents, give it to him. It doesn't matter what we have. Jesus said there was one man that had 5 talents. And I love working for the Lord. I'm thankful for everything he's allowed me to do. I take nothing for granted. I remember when I was 13 years old. And I was watching a Billy Graham crusade. And in the midst of this, I didn't know anything about music at all. And I began to see this, like, these notes and these things in my head. It was like somehow it was a type of a vision or something. It's very hard to describe, but I began to see these notes, and God was speaking to me. And I know that God spoke to me and said, I'm going to make you be able to play and sing. And you know what? I was 13 years old. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what a middle C was. I didn't know anything. God dropped it in my heart. He dropped it in my heart. And so I praise God. But Jesus said, no matter what I give you, no matter what you have or don't have, he said, you use it for his honor and glory, because it doesn't matter what we do or what we don't do. When it all comes down to it, God got mad at the man, angry. He got mad at the one that had 1 talent. He couldn't do anything. He had one. And he said, I'm upset with you because you went and buried it. You said, I can't do anything for God. I can only do one thing. I can only do one thing. Jesus said, the Father's angry with you. He's going to search you out. And on the end day, I'm coming for you, man. I'll tell you what. You may not, this may be getting deep. And you may, I hope you can follow me. But it does not matter what we can do or can't do. What we have or don't have. God requires something from us. He requires more than just saying, the day I got saved. He requires our hearts, our lives, our attitudes. He requires fruits of the Spirit. And even though we're not always perfect, and none of us are, and I'm not, he's requiring things of us. He's requiring us to walk closer to him. And you know, people will see that. And people will want to come see that. And people will want to join in with us. And people will want to see the Spirit of God. I've went off my notes. I'm telling you, God is so real, and he's so evident, and you know what? It's sometimes we get the thought, I want to do something good. I want to do something. Our whole attitude should be, I want a spirit of attitude. And, you know, I strive for that. I'm not there, but that's my goal. I have a goal. If you don't have a spiritual goal, you need a spiritual goal. My goal is to have a spiritual attitude of kindness. And that doesn't mean just doing one thing. That doesn't mean just doing one kind act. That means I want to have a spirit. I want to have an attitude. The Beatitudes are attitudes to be at. A spirit of attitude, giving God something more than just thought. Giving God our everything. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for speaking to us. And Lord, sometimes we stray away from the bread and get into the meat of the word. And God, sometimes you want us to have that. You said babes shall eat on bread, and they eat on crumbs, and they drink the milk of the word. But Lord, sometimes it said those that are stronger, those saints, they need the meat. And God, we accept that. Tougher to chew, tougher to swallow, tougher to digest. But God, we accept that. We accept that, Lord, because you're working in us. And you are doing a great work in us. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you for each soul here this morning. We thank you for speaking to our lives. We thank you for speaking into our hearts. We thank you, Lord. We praise you like you said to do. We just glorify you, Lord, and we lift up your name. And God, we pray that in the future, Lord, we'll be able to do this even more. We'll begin to even lift up our hands and hearts and worship you in ways that we've never seen. And wait, because you said you will do a new and a wonderful thing. You'll do new beginnings. You'll do fabulous things. God, because you're God, and we're just following you. Lord, make us disciples. Make us fishers of men. Make us what we want to be. Make us what we need to be. Help us in every way. And God, in all of our frailties and all of our weaknesses, make us stronger. Make me stronger. God, I have weaknesses. Make me stronger. Make us more than we are. If we are what we are today, we will be what we will be forever. Nothing will change. God, I don't want an attitude like that. I don't want to have a bad attitude. I want an attitude of spirit-led people. I want an attitude that I am a son of God. I want attitudes that we are children of God. We are women of God. We are children of the Most High King, and we can praise you and we can thank you for that. Lord, we're going to sing a new chorus, and I'm going to lead a song, Lord, this morning. I pray that the words will just jump out at us, because with you, we are higher. Without you, we are lower. Bring us to a higher place, Lord. Bring us to a higher level. Set our feet on high ground, and may we climb the stairs to heaven, because we are definitely on a highway to the future. We're on a highway to death. We're on a highway, Lord, for an eternity. And we pray that you will give us the strength to go forward, the strength to make it. Help us to praise you, like you said. And Lord, that is going to take some effort, but we're willing to do that. And if we're not, drop it in our heart, because we will accept your will. We don't want to be behind your will. We don't want to be in front of your will. We want to be at the center of your will. In Jesus' name.